to make this practical to every one of us. So our scripture text this morning is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I would encourage you to get open your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one. I preach primarily out of the King James Version with maybe a verse or two from the Amplified. But the King James Version is the version of choice here at the Church of God at Conequanessing. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, there's a lot about that verse that maybe it's hard for us to understand and to grasp. But it takes faith to please God, first of all. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing this to his brethren, the Hebrews. This is what a wonderful book, the book of Hebrews. He's writing this, he's saying, brethren, he's saying, without faith, let's realize it's impossible to please God. And if you come to God in faith, you've got to believe that he is more than he exists, okay? You have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. And here's where some people kind of draw back. They draw back at this thought that God rewards. He most certainly rewards. And it is not out of the ordinary. It's not out of expectation, okay, of us, a child of God, or God himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for us to ask and be then be rewarded. It's part of it. Well, I don't want anything from God. Now come now. Okay, we all need something from God. Okay, he daily loads us with benefits. Give us this day our daily bread. You know that text, right? You know, if you have come up in a Christian Sunday school and have been to church at all, you know that. You know that's coming from what is termed as the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask. It's not unusual to ask. In fact, God wants us to ask. The Apostle Paul defines a faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you'll find that in Hebrews 11, the first verse of that chapter in Hebrews 11. He defines it, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we're already starting to say, well, what does he mean by that? Well, let me go on a little bit further. I'll give you a bigger definition, but I promise you, I'll come back and simplify it, okay? It has also been said that faith expresses a confidence or persuasion of the truth of anything not self-evident, the truth of anything you can't see, received upon the testimony of another. Now, let's simplify it. I told you I'd give you something simple. Let's simplify that last statement I made. Like this. I believe it because of who said it. I believe it because of who said it. Okay. I hope you have someone or someones in your life, okay, that you can just believe them. If they say something, you can believe them. And they may kid and they may joke, but you know when things get serious, you can believe them. You can believe what they say, okay? Then you probably know some people that you can hardly put your trust in because you just can't depend on them. You can't believe them. Well, the simple way of defining this is, I believe it because of who said it. The Bible is God's word. This is God's word, okay? It is his testimony. It is his word. It is his testimony to us, to me, to you, and it can be believed. It says within the word of God, when he could swear by no other, amen, he swore by himself. Amen. Who can refute that? Who can ask for more? Amen. We have his word. He has pledged himself, amen, that this very word of God is true and it can be believed, amen, and through it will be met all of our needs as men and women. Now, do you regularly read the Bible? I hope you do. I hope you regularly read the Bible. If you don't have one, as I said, you need to get one. If you can't find a store to go buy a Bible, that'd be a good reason to contact us, and we could get a Bible to you. Do you read it? Do you read it with honest purpose? It's one thing just to open up the Bible and read a few verses and say, I've done my daily devotions, okay? There's a lot of devotional books out there. But you get into God's word, it has to be read with honest purpose to get something out of it, okay? You sit down to eat, hopefully every day, probably a few times a day, and you sit there with a purpose. What's the purpose? You take food, you take that sustenance to keep your health up and to nourish your body and to give you energy. Well, it's the same way with God's word. I'm trying to make this practical now, okay? Don't go to sleep on me out there. We have to read it with purpose. If we do read God's word regularly, and if we do read it with honest purpose, then you have found or you have become aware of God's desire for you to trust him and place faith in his mercy and his grace. By reading his word, you have come to realize his love, his compassion, and generosity exceed that of any mortal man. If you've got into his word, his love, his compassion, and his generosity exceed that of any mortal man, of mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, your friend, your best friend or friends, amen, the government. His love, compassion, and generosity exceed that of any mortal man's. By reading the scriptures, you have read his testimony, his word. It's like reading a brief, if you will. Man, I'll draw from legalese, a legal brief. It's like reading a brief. You have read his testimony, which invites you to come to him regardless of your need, regardless of your care, regardless of your perplexity of mind, regardless of your sorrow of heart. This is his testimony. And if you've read it with purpose, you realize there's an invitation here. From Genesis to Revelation, to come to him, that he will take care of you, regardless the need, the care, the worry, the sorrow of heart. The person who accepts the invitation expresses his faith and confidence in him. We read with a purpose. We see what God has for us in his word. We believe it by faith. We believe it because of who said it. And therefore, we express our faith and our confidence in him because we come to him. That person believes that God does more than exist. My, there are a lot of people that believe God exists. He exists. The existence of a greater power. Of course, there's a lot of people that don't believe. But as a Christian, we have to believe. We believe that he exists, of course, but it's more than believing that he exists. It's believing that God is. There's a big difference here. Amen. I hope I'm not over your head here. I don't believe I am. Amen. There's one thing to realize God exists. It's another thing to believe that God is. And there's a lot to that little word, that I-S, is. He is many things. Amen. He is many things to all of us. And he is exactly what you need right now, right this instant. It's more than he exists. This building exists. Amen. There's a lot of things that exist. But God does more than just exist. God is living. He's alive. He's all powerful. He is everywhere at once. He is all knowing. Now you try to get your head around all that. He is all powerful. He is everywhere at once. He is here, but he's wherever you are this morning. I believe that. The Word of God teaches that. This is what I know about God. Amen. He's greater than any of my thoughts. His thoughts are way above my thoughts. His ways are way above my ways. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows things before they even happen. Amen. We have to believe that he is. And that he is, not only that he is, but that he is, I'm back to our scripture text, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek for him. Seek for him. Do you know how to seek for God? We're going to talk a little bit about that before we finish our message this morning. We have to know how to seek him. We need to know how to look for him. Amen. If we want to be rewarded, if we have a need, if we want to access him, we need to know how to get to him. We need to start with some basics, very basic, fundamental truths. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. We have to have a basic faith in God's word. We have to have a basic faith in his testimony. Remember, I said, to simplify it, okay? You can believe it because of who said it, all right? He said it, I believe it. That settles it, all right? Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What in the world does that mean, preacher? It means that God just spoke it into existence. He didn't have to run to Home Depot. He didn't have to run to Lowe's. Amen. He didn't have to run to the local hardware, the local lumber yard, and get material and put it all together. He just spoke it into existence. That's what Paul says here. He says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He just spoke it into existence. I believe that. Now, that's too far-fetched. Not if you're going to be a person of faith, it isn't. These are the basics, dear one. Amen. Let's bring our mind into subjection here. Amen. Let's subject our minds to having faith in God and understanding who he is. If we're going to come to him, if we're going to look for him for our help in whatever the need, the care, the perplexity of our mind, the sorrow of our heart, then we need to know how to access him and we need to know about him. In Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, in the beginning, I knew you were going to go there. I knew the creation was going to get into this. Well, it's part of God's testimony. It starts right off. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, and we could go on, but those last three words in verse 3, and God said, amen, that says more than I could ever say. God said. Do you believe that? Basic. These are basic tenets of the faith. Amen. The creation. Now, you want to get into all the details and what ifs and why this and why that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to go and deal with all the this and that's been found and how old and everything like that. I'm going with this premise, with this truth. It's more than a premise. It's a truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he formed it out of something that wasn't there. He just spoke the word, and God said. And friend, I can't help but to think, amen, that you need for God to say some things in your life. There are many times I need him to speak some words in my life and lift some burdens and bring some joy and bring some peace to my mind, amen, and see some doors open. And some mountains moved. God specializes in all that. Amen. I have found that. I have found that because I have read his testimony. I have found that because I have received the invitation. All this about God's word says, come to me. And I've taken him at his word. And oh, how I have been rewarded. I also believe, as we read over in John 1, verses 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word. And that's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that Jesus is God. Amen. We talk about the triune fullness. That's some doctrine. Okay, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All right, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus has always been. He just did not show up on that evening in Bethlehem when he was born in a manger. He always has been. He has always been. And that's not to take away from that night, amen, and his first advent. That was a miracle. The whole thing was a miracle. But he always has been. Amen. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. One day he shined into the darkness of my life. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the light of God's word. We go on here and read in 1 John 14 and 15, and the Word was made flesh. Now we're talking about him coming. Amen. Leaving heaven, coming, he was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist recognized the deity of which was Jesus Christ. He recognized the Word, and he knew why he was there. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, takes away your sin, my sin. Man, we're back to basic truths, very basic. But you got to have faith in these things. If you're going to come to God, you have to believe the basics, very fundamental. Man, if you were taking a college course, and many of you have, amen, we start out with 101 courses, 100 level courses, okay? This is faith 101, pretty basic. You've got to get this down. You got to believe it. And it's not too difficult to get it down, and it's not too difficult to believe. It's essential. It's essential. In John 3, verse 16 to 17, and who doesn't know this verse? Again, if you've come up through a Christian Sunday school of one place or another, amen, we know this, for God, you probably can recite it. I don't know, I haven't recited this in a long time, Pastor Carnes. Well, you'd be surprised how much you remember if Sunday school was an important part of your life when you were young. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe in the plan of salvation. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I believe that. I believe there is no other name given under heaven by which men should be saved. Amen. No other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Basics. Got to believe. If we're going to come to him, we've got to believe the basics of faith. And there are many more things, many more things. We just have come through the Easter season. The resurrection is central to all that we're preaching even today. It's central to the faith, the resurrection. But let's go on. God's testimony is true. You can believe it. You can take it to the bank. Amen. Or let's put it this way. You can take it, amen, to your prayer closet. You can take it, amen, to that certain place which you pray. Amen. On your knees. Walking in the park. Man, wherever it is that you commune with God, doing the dishes, doing work, whatever. I commune with God in many different places, just not on my knees. I believe his testimony is true. You can take this to the bank. You can take it to him. In Psalm 93 and verse 5, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. In John 21, verses 24 to 25, and this is very interesting. This is written in the Gospels. It says, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John is speaking of himself. He said, we know these things are true. Amen. And then it goes on in verse 25 and says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen, or so be it. John was convinced. And he goes on, amen, in latter time in the early morning church when the truth was under attack, when heresy was coming in, and he reminded those that read his epistles, that read his letters, he said, come on, you need to remember what you've been taught. You need to remember the words of Jesus Christ. Don't let this false doctrine or heresy, amen, sway you or sweep you away. You need to hold on to what is sure, what is true. He said, there's so many things that Christ did that if it was possible, amen, to write them all, the world couldn't contain all the books. It wouldn't be a library large enough. What are those things? Well, we know what some of those things are. We know it because of his testimony within the pages of his word, but we also know because what has been done in our own lives. Amen. Deliverance, salvation, healing, grace, wisdom, temporal needs supplied, compassion, compassionate God. Many times he was touched with compassion. And he moved in behalf of his people. He moved in behalf of the one that struggled and suffered. Compassion. Every need, he supplied. He's not changed. In 1 Kings 8 and 56, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Not one word has failed of his testimony. Amen. You can believe it because of who said it. You can believe it because of who said it. There's not been one promise fail. We've already alluded to this or mentioned this. God's testimony is his invitation for man to come to him. Man, his invitation. This is a invitation, the word of God. If you read it with purpose and you read it regularly, it won't take a whole lot of time before you realize God wants me to turn to him. God wants me to give him my cares and my problems. God wants me to be his child. He wants to help me in every way. Amen. He's inviting. This is God's invitation. The invitation is extensive and it's unconditional. Isn't that wonderful? It's extensive and unconditional, and that is good for you and for me. In Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And it goes on and says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Man, there's the reward. Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Are you laboring under a load of sin? Are you laboring under a load of guilt and regret? Are you wishing things would have been different? Are you heavy laden because of the current pandemic and the problems and the stress that you're facing? Are you worried? Are you full of anxiety? Well, you can go to God. The invitation is here. He says, come unto me. Amen. All you that labor, all that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. In Acts 10, verses 34 to 35, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I told you, this invitation, amen, it is extensive and it's unconditional. You don't have to have a certain income or an education, amen. You don't have to live in a certain neighborhood, regardless of your skin color. Amen. Black, red, brown, white, it makes no difference. Regardless of your ethnicity, regardless, amen, of your gender, male or female. Amen. For there's no difference Amen. He says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And Peter had to be taught a lesson, and he was taught this lesson as God put him in a sleep on top of a house. And he put a dream, he brought a dream before him, this great sheet being lowered down from heaven. And in the sheet was all sorts of animals that the Jews considered unclean. And that happened three times to get the message through to Peter. And even at that, Peter wasn't totally aware. But he got the message enough, amen, because immediately right after that, he was called to go pray for someone who was not a Jew. God revealed this to Peter. He said, Peter, I've got more people than just you. I've got more people than just you and your kindred, more than just you and the Jews. I've got a whole other group of people that I need to reach. And in fact, that group of people, it encompasses the whole world. No bias, no prejudice. Amen. Racial or otherwise. In Romans 10, verse 12 to 13, now Paul picks up this thought, okay? Paul picks up this thought in Romans 10, verse 12 to 13, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. At the time, some Jews would take great umbrage with that thought. And on the other side, so would some Greeks would take umbrage with that because of those prejudices. Listen to me. This invitation is extensive and it's unconditional. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Isn't that wonderful? You got to get to him. Well, I know he exists. You have to do more than know he exists. You need to know about him. You need to know that he is. He generously bestows his riches upon all who call upon him in faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. The invitation is powerful and it's sure. You won't get a better invitation. Man, if you're looking for something engraved in gold leaf and something just wonderful and beautiful that you never want to part with, maybe frame it after the event or the occasion, that's not what you're going to find here. Amen. You're going to find God's word. And you're going to find the promises of his word. And they are guaranteed not only by his word, but by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. The invitation is powerful and it's sure. God says, or Jesus says, I will just not show you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, I just won't show you what rest is. I just won't hang it out there and some place where you can't reach it. He says, I won't just inference this thought of rest or barely suggest rest. He said, but I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Man. We're back to this thought of making this practical. What good is it when someone says, well, I'm praying that you'll have rest. I'm praying that God will help you. It's more than just talking about it. It's knowing that God will give it. He will give rest. Amen. He'll give you whatever you need. See, Jesus is faithfulness himself. He is faithfulness epitomized. Amen. He is faithfulness through and through. He can't lie. Amen. His testimonies are sure. We've already read that in Psalm. Amen. He can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. He's faithful. If he can't lie and he's faithful, then why should we remain troubled? And why should we remain perplexed and despondent? And why should we remain weary? I'll tell you, all this that's been going on all these weeks, It is wearisome. It's wearisome. Amen. And who knows how much longer it will go on. But even in all the wearisome things that we're dealing with, the things that make us anxious and worried and ask what if and what now and how will it be next week, dear one, if you get to Christ, if you get to God, and get beyond the fact that I know he exists, get to the fact that you know that he is and everything that he is. And get to him, amen, pray, amen, and he'll do more than just talk to you about rest. He'll give it to you. He'll give you rest. Amen. He'll give it. That's God. Amen. He's not stingy. He'll give you rest. There's a rest that goes, amen, it goes beyond alcohol, it goes beyond drugs, it goes beyond pills. It goes beyond self-helps. Amen. All those things all calm. It goes beyond even a cup of tea. A calming cup of tea. Amen. I'm talking about that which is spiritual. I'm talking about that which comes from heaven. And it brings a rest. It brings a rest and a healing to the soul. And it brings a rest and a healing to the mind. And it brings a rest and a healing to the body. I told you I want to make this practical. I've been telling you about God. I've been telling you about he does more than exist. He is. I've been trying to tell you what this is all about. So we need to get to God. How can a person come to God? And perhaps many of you already know. Perhaps many of you already know, and I'm glad if you do. In that case, I'm just stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. But there might be someone listening or viewing that really doesn't know. And there might be someone that's listening or viewing that never come up through a Sunday school class, or Sunday school class was so long ago. And whatever was learned was nothing more than just a Bible story. Well, you know, a whole lot has happened since Sunday school class. Dropping your coins in the Sunday school offering. A lot has happened since then and now. Life has happened. Sin has happened. We need to be instructed. We need to be reminded. How close can a person come to God? He can come as close to God as he desires. James 4 and verse 8. Please turn there. James 4 and verse 8. The Amplified. Well, the King James says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. Now, the Amplified says, come close to God and he'll come close to you. Come close to God and he'll come close to you. You know what we have here? We have a precept and we have a promise in that little verse there. Amen. We have a precept and a promise. Amen. It's a very short precept. Amen. It's a promise, amen, which is described in very few words. But oh, the magnitude of it. Amen. Draw nigh to God. There's the precept. And the promise, he'll draw nigh to you. Come close to God, and he'll come close to you. See, it's not that difficult. Oh, God can't be reached. God lives in big buildings, and God lives in all sorts of religious things and different cities and places around this. God is everywhere. Man, God's everywhere. God would like to be in your heart. We're reminded in the writings of Paul, he says, what, know you not that you are the temple of God? You are the temple of God. The Holy Ghost lies within you. Amen. You get saved and sanctified. Amen. You'll receive the Spirit of Christ. You'll receive the Holy Spirit within your heart. Amen. So this short precept, amen, is followed by a very significant promise. Draw near to God, and he'll get close to you. He's ready to offer himself. He's ready to offer his assistance. Even this morning. Even today. Amen. He is willing to offer himself and offer his assistance. Amen. He's ready, amen, to get close to whomever will get close to him. It's a promise. Amen. Whatever the need of the needy, the great provider will provide. Whatever the need of the needy, amen, the great provider will provide. I'm going to close with a couple scriptures here. In Acts 17, verses 16 to 30. And then we'll read a little bit farther in Acts 17, verses 22 to 30. I want to talk about Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul was making his way on a missionary journey, and he was in Athens. And the city of Athens was given to idolatry. They had shrines and a statuary to every one of their gods. And even if they were so superstitious and so much idol worshipers that they put one up to the unknown god, just in case they missed someone. And they had scores of gods. Amen. And they had family gods, and they had gods for whatever it might be, the household gods, family gods, gods of fortune, gods of love, gods of war, on and on and on and on. Gods of protection. Now in verse 16 of Acts 17, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the city wholly given to idolatry. He was a man of God. He had the Holy Spirit within him. And he was stirred. The Holy Ghost was stirred within him. And everywhere he looked in the city, he saw idolatry. They really didn't know God. And because they didn't know God, they didn't know how to come to him. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met him. He preached everywhere. He went into the synagogues and preached to the ones that were holding on to the old law. He preached about Christ, amen, about the plan of salvation, about redemption. He talked to the devout persons. He even went into the market every day, and he preached, and he talked, and he talked to people about God, everyone that he met. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Imagine. The preacher, the man of God that Paul was, he was being referred to as a babbler. That shouldn't surprise you. It's par for the course. Some other said he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus in the resurrection. He was just preaching truth to them. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is?" There's a reason for that. Amen. Because those men there in Athens, they spent their time in only learning new things and discussing new things. And this was something new. And it says in verse 20, "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, that we would know therefore what these things mean." In verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. He stood right in the midst of all this idolatry with all these men. And he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." He didn't withhold. He just said, "All this, you're just too superstitious. Let me simplify this for you. Let me tell you about the real God. Let me tell you about the great God. Amen. Amen. The God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about his Son." He said, "I passed by and I beheld your devotions. And oh, you're very faithful to do your devotions. And you know, in all my looking around, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship.' Now, I'm going to declare him unto you. I'm going to tell you about this unknown God. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He doesn't dwell in all this. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God has everything under control. Let's not forget that. Amen. Verse 27, this is key. That they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. How close can a man, a woman get to God? As close as they want to. Why? Because he's not far from any of us. There is not one of us that he is too remote and too distant. Amen. I've sinned too much. You know, there's only one sin that can't be pardoned. And that's a sin against the Holy Spirit. And in all my two plus decades of pastoring, I've only come across a couple that I would wonder if they've overstepped against the Holy Spirit. That's a rare, extreme exception. You might feel there's no way I can get to God. God doesn't want to hear me. That's not true. That's not true. In all likelihood, he wants to hear from you. In all likelihood, he would be delighted to hear from you. He's not that far away. And if these idolaters in Athens, amen, could be given that instruction by the Apostle Paul, listen to me, he said, men. Amen, listen to me, you superstitious people. Man, God is so close that if you would just feel after him, you'd find him. He's not far away from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver and stone, engraven by art and man's device. He's not like this that I'm looking at and seeing here. No. Amen. God's not that at all. God is a spirit. And he that would worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is not so far away. That if you just seek for him, if you'll feel for him, you will find him. He said there were times where God winked at this ignorance. But he commands everyone now to repent. That was quite a message Paul preached there on Mars Hill in Athens. He just preached the truth. And it had a good effect on some. And as always, some scoffed and mocked and did not receive the word. The invitation was offered. Greater definition was given to them about the great God of heaven. Some received it and some refused it. How about you this morning? Amen. God's close. He's close. He's perhaps closer than what you think. How do I reach him, Pastor Carnes? He's only a prayer away. He's just a prayer away. Amen. As I talked about regularly reading the Bible, as I talked about reading it with an honest purpose, our prayer life needs to be the same. We need to pray regularly. We need to take our burdens to God regularly, and we need to leave them there. And when we pray, we need to be honest. We need to make sure that our hearts condemn us not, that when we drop to our knees, when we commune with God, that God will hear us without anything in the way. And if there's anything in the way, it can be gotten out of the way, providing, amen, you're honest, providing you repent. He's only a prayer away. You need peace? You need rest. You need your mind calmed. You need that sorrow of heart lifted. Man, he's there. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's just a prayer away. Let me remind you. We'll go back to our text. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is, more than just exists, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's all we have this morning.